Hello, and welcome to the October 13th episode of Investing Beyond Borders, a podcast from around the law firm that brings you regular insight on investment opportunities and legal and regulatory updates from throughout the Miranda Alliance world. This week, we bring you news on the new oil and gas licensing round and a visa exemption scheme in Angola, carbon capture in Mozambique and Timor-Leste, significant renewable energy projects in Portugal, airport tenders in Angola and São Tomé, a new power plant in Senegal, and other major developments in our jurisdictions. Sit back, relax, and enjoy Investing Beyond Borders. Teresa, the floor is yours.
We start this week's episode with news on the oil and gas sector in Angola, where the National Oil, Gas and Biofuels Agency launched the tender for the award of 12 oil concessions, entitled Bidding 2023 for Oil Exploration. Four of the blocks up for tender are located in the Lower Congo Basin, while the other eight are located in the Kwanza Basin. The 12 blocks have an estimated potential of 7,000 million barrels of crude oil. The deadline for submitting proposals is 15 November, and all domestic and foreign companies interested and qualified to do so may apply. The Angolan government is privatizing 12 industrial units through a disposal of assets. Eight of these units are located in the Luanda-Bengo Special Economic Zone, whereas the other four are in the province of Cabinda. The following companies are up for sale: Indukamar, Tire and Tube Manufacturing Unit, Yunda Masas, Pasta Manufacturing Unit, Ndotubu HDPE, Pipe Manufacturing Unit, Meka Metal, Metal Parts and Structures Manufacturing Unit, and Pivangola, Agricultural Irrigation Pivot Manufacturing Unit. Investors from four continents expressed their interest in the Antonio Agostinho Neto Airport following the launch of the tender to operate the facility. The eligibility criteria for single companies or consortiums include a minimum of 3 years of experience operating an airport with a yearly capacity of 10 million passengers and a financial capacity of more than $150 million. The concession will have a duration of 25 years, renewal for a further 15. According to the government, the inauguration and operational launch of the airport will contribute to other related sectors and thereby accelerate the economic diversification that Angola is aiming for. Dubai Ports World is investing $210 million in the modernization and expansion of the multi-purpose terminal of the Port of Luanda. This investment will increase the number of containerized units per year from 430,000 to 700,000, and it will also result in the digitalization of operational procedures for all those involved, a process that will lead to a modern, safer, multi-purpose terminal, with a response time for processing goods reduced by around 50%. The project includes building a two-story building for administration and operations, two access sidings, loading and unloading, facilities for customs services, the fiscal police, and an ultra-modern X-ray, which should be completed in 18 months. The project is supported by an investment plan of over $250 million to be carried out over the 20 years of the concession, of which more than 70% will be made through national incorporation. Dubai Ports World, or DP World, is a multinational logistics company based in Dubai, specializing in cargo logistics, port terminal operations, maritime services, and free trade zones. With 150 operations worldwide, Miranda is thrilled to have played a part in developing this project, which will transform the port into a trade hub in the southern West Africa region, supporting the country's economic goals by attracting further investment and increased trade. Angola recently approved new rules on visa exemption and tourist visa procedures, according to which citizens of 98 beneficiary countries are able to enjoy a tourist visa exemption when staying up to 30 days per entry and up to 90 days per year. For further information, we invite you to read our legal alert on this important development. The Council of the European Union gave the green light to an agreement that facilitates investment between the EU bloc and Angola, which aims to allow Luanda to diversify the country's economy. The Sustainable Investment Facilitation Agreement will facilitate, attract, and expand investment while integrating environmental and labor rights commitments into EU-Angola relations. Angola is the seventh largest investment destination on the African continent for European investors, accounting for 5.4% of all European direct investment. The Global Innovation Index 2023 ranks Cape Verde as the best country in the West African region, making it the only Portuguese-speaking African country to appear in the top 100. This distinction highlights Cape Verde's remarkable performance in the continental context, positioning the archipelago as the sixth most innovative ecosystem, surpassed only by South Africa, Morocco, Tunisia, Botswana, and Egypt. The same publication also points to the significant progress is the result of a long-term strategy, which began in 2016 and has been continuously improved by the current government with the creation of infrastructures such as Technology Park and Ellalink submarine cable, as well as a strong commitment to technology-based entrepreneurship through government programs such as Cape Verde Digital and various other initiatives aimed at strengthening the ecosystem and projecting Cape Verde on the main international stages. At a time when shortages of clean drinking water and the advance of coastal erosion are negatively impacting people's lives in Côte d'Ivoire, the Netherlands has pledged €300 million in funding through Dutch company Invest International to help the West African country build resilience in the affected areas. The project will respond to priorities in four areas: access to drinking water, the fight against coastal erosion, the development of the port sector, and health. Part of the funding for drinking water will also be used to accelerate several ongoing initiatives, including the Water for All program launched in 2020. Over in Mozambique, French oil company Total Energies announced that it's working towards resuming construction of the LNG plant on the Afungi Peninsula in Cabo Delgado by the end of this year. Consulting firm BMI had previously predicted that Total Energies should only resume work in Cabo Delgado in the first half of 2024. However, Total Energies pointed out that the security situation that had led to the suspension of work in 2021 had improved substantially, making it possible to resume work this year. This new schedule, gas production can now start in 2028. The Mozambican government announced its intention to develop a comprehensive regulatory framework to support carbon capture markets in the country. To this effect, Mozambique recently joined the African Carbon Markets Initiative, ACME, a project whose goal is to support governments in developing public and private programs to boost carbon markets in Africa. According to the initiative's CEO, taking part in the initiative will enable Mozambique to take full advantage of the opportunities offered by carbon finance, allowing it to play a more significant role in combating climate change and strengthening resilience. The World Bank's International Development Association has made $150 million available for the implementation of the Urban Water Security Program to improve water supply systems in the southern region of Mozambique. The initiative will benefit 1.3 million people, help create an environment conducive to private sector participation in the country's water supply programs, encourage sustainable and climate resilient services, and promote better and more efficient water services. In Portugal, the spotlight is on renewable energy, especially solar energy. Firstly, the European Investment Bank has approved financing of up to €1.7 billion for the construction of around 120 photovoltaic plants spread throughout Portugal, Spain, and Italy by the Spanish company Solaria. According to the European Commission, these plants have a total capacity of 5.6 gigawatts with an annual production of 9.29 TWh per year and are expected to be operational by the end of 2028. The operation will support the EU's policy objectives under the European Green Deal and the RePower EU plan, providing electricity equivalent to the average annual demand of approximately 2.5 million households and reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Credit investment advisory firm Incas Capital launched a €500 million fund focused on renewables in Portugal and Spain. The European Renewables Credit Fund is aimed at sustainable investment and reducing carbon emissions, particularly at medium-sized operators in the Iberian Peninsula. Galp inaugurated a major photovoltaic solar energy project in Alcoutin with an investment of more than 70 million euros. The project produces enough electricity to supply 80 families, avoiding the emission of 75,000 tons of CO2, and has helped Galp achieve an installed capacity of 1.4 gigawatts and provide 5.5% of the Iberian Peninsula's photovoltaic power. Galp has also announced two major projects at the Sines refinery: the installation of 100 megawatt of electrolyzers for the production of green hydrogen and the launch of an advanced biofuel production unit for mobility and aviation. These two projects, valued at 650 million euros, are among the largest in Europe in the green hydrogen and biofuels value chain and are fundamental to repositioning of the Sines refinery. Further north, in Castelo Branco, Danish company Eurowind Energy is pursuing a solar project worth of 500 million euros. The project was submitted to HEN for evaluation under the terms of reference, also known as direct agreements between the promoters and the electricity transmission grid operator. Global renewable energy producer Sonadix has started building a 149 megawatt solar PV project in Viseu, its first in the country. Once completed, the Sonadix Douro project will generate approximately 234.5 gigawatts of clean energy, capable of towering 78,000 Portuguese homes and avoiding 35,000 tons per year of carbon dioxide emissions. The African Export-Import Bank signed a financing agreement with Trident OGX Congo. The deal is to support the oil company in its efforts to boost oil production in the Central African country, and it involves a $300 million USD facility that will enable Trident to undertake an investment program aimed at promoting crude oil production at the Mengo Kunji Bindi 2 oil fields, located in one of the country's most prolific oil basins. Production started a few years ago, but it remains minimal. The operators now hope to turn it into a game-changer, as the transaction will result in a 30% increase in national oil production, in addition to the Trident Group, Société Nationale de Pétrole du Congo, and the Orion Group also hold stakes in the asset to be operated by Trident OGX Congo. In the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Mauritius-based GED Africa is about to start working on an $850 million road project connecting copper and cobalt mines in the DRC, Zambia, and East African port. Since copper, cobalt, lithium, and other minerals mined in the region are critical to renewable energy technology and a low-carbon future, road modernization that allows for their transport has become a priority. The upgrade, construction, and extension of the 184-kilometer highway will facilitate faster transportation for truckers and should reduce the existing travel distance by over 240 kilometers. São Tomé and Príncipe recently published a temporary law on investment incentives, which aims to empower the government to define the conditions for authorizing investments and granting guarantees and incentives applicable to certain investments that require additional advantages and benefits to those provided for in the investment code. The temporary rules, which will remain in force for a maximum period of 4 years, apply to investment projects in sectors that are chronically deficient and have a decisive impact on the country's economy growth and sustainable development, namely the food supply and production, health, education, energy, information and communication technology sectors, as well as projects with a significant impact on the mobilization of foreign currency. The São Tomean government has just launched a tender for the rehabilitation and modernization of São Tomé's International Airport. The aim of the project is to expand the airport's existing facilities by means of the concession and construction of a new terminal to replace the current one on the basis of a design-build operating transfer contract. Bids from interested parties must be submitted by 4 p.m. on 30 November. The government is also looking to intensify the transition to 100% organic farming using local natural products and those imported from African countries with similar agricultural characteristics. the country's Minister of Agriculture assured that the executive has credited programs that have already been implemented and are now being improved before being made available to farmers and fishermen so they can improve their activities, thus helping boost the archipelago's economy. In Senegal, GE Vernova has secured a 25-year service agreement for East African Energy's 300-megawatt combined cycle power project in Cap de Biche. The deal covers parts, repairs, field services, and advanced predictive maintenance for the two GE Vernova 9E.03 gas turbines and accessory equipment. It includes asset performance management software from GE Vernova's digital business, which will help reduce costs, achieve high availability, and increase reliability and efficiency once the power plant is operational. The project will help ensure the long-term availability and reliability of the power plant's gas turbines to meet Senegal's increasing energy demands. The Cap de Biche power plant, the first gas-to-power project in Senegal, will supply over 25% of the country's power needs and is expected to commence operations in phases from 2024. Meanwhile, oilfield services provider Allseas has been awarded an engineering contract by the BP Group for development work on the Greater Tortue Ameyi oilfield shared by Senegal and Mauritania. The deal includes the completion of the subsea pipelines for the GTA project and the deepwater installation of four internal lines of corrosion-resistant alloy steel. This project re-establishes the partnership between the two companies and creates a platform from which to develop and strengthen future collaboration between BP and Allseas. Finally, in Timor-Leste, the International Finance Corporation held a workshop on carbon capture and storage to present the work that has been carried out with the support of the IFC regarding the structuring of possible future CCS projects in the country, with a special focus on the possible repurposing of the Bayundan fuel for capture of CO2.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Investing Beyond Borders. We will be back in 2 weeks' time with more developments in the Miranda Alliance world. Please join us then for more news from the 16 Miranda Alliance jurisdictions. In the meantime, you can drop by our website or LinkedIn page, where you will find more updates on our activity and legal developments of interest to our clients and followers. This podcast was brought to you by Miranda Law Firm and Miranda Alliance. You can find out more about our worldwide activities and assistance to investors at www.mirandalawfirm.com. This episode was presented by Teresa Garcia André from our Lisbon office and Luis Miranda from the Houston office. Content was developed exclusively for Miranda by the Miranda Alliance podcast team. Technical support is provided by Hugo Ribeiro from our communications department. All content is subject to copyright and protected by law.